much to the church family for that gift, and certainly a blessing to be pastoring here, and a lot of wonderful folks. And I'm a little biased, but I think we've got the best church in the world. Amen. And I praise God for friends, and I praise God for again God's goodness. And this morning, I want to preach on Christmas delight. And I was thinking as we were singing those songs, it reminded me of a story. 8 years ago, it was the Wednesday before Christmas, was my first service here. The first Christmas, I'll never forget. Who remembers Helen? She was, when last time, before she went to the nursing home, she was 94, 95 years old. And I did the songs up for the Christmas service. I can't remember if it landed right on Christmas Day or not, but I did the songs up. And I thought, well, you know, we don't want to sing all Christmas carols. I'll throw a couple in there that aren't Christmas carols, and we'll kind of warm up and get into the Christmas carols. And this sweet little 90-year-old at the time lady, we were singing one of the songs, just one of the songs in the hymn book, and she piped up. She says, "Where are the Christmas carols?" And she, "I want to sing Christmas carols." I said, "Helen, we'll get to them, all right?" You know, and here I was, brand new pastor, first service, and I'm getting yelled at by an old lady. Amen. So we sang all Christmas carols there because I didn't want to get yelled at. Amen. So if anybody doesn't like that, just too bad. Anyways. Turn in your Bibles to a couple of verses we're going to look at, a couple of different books of the Bible. Psalms chapter 37 and verse 4. And we're also going to go to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, and also Psalms chapter 37 and verse 4. The Bible says there in Psalms chapter 37 and verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart." Now, I know right away you might be thinking, well, Pastor, that verse has nothing to do, it has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus Christ, but it does have something to do with giving. And the Bible says that we are to delight ourselves in the Lord, and the Bible says he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And you know, when we think about the desires of salvation, the desires of the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us should have a desire for the Lord. Amen? They were certainly waiting for the given Messiah in the Hebrew nation in the Old Testament. They were waiting and longing for the day when the Messiah, when the Deliverer would come. You know, we celebrate Christmas. We rejoice and we delight ourselves in the Lord at Christmas time, not as the Hebrews did, looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, but we look back to the giving and we delight in that wonderful, glorious day when Jesus Christ was brought into this world. And I like to say this, it's okay to say Merry Christmas. Amen. And I was in the bulletin there, if you got maybe a few minutes before 3 o'clock, some of the trivia questions in there. I went online and I did a search for Christmas trivia questions. So got a whole bunch of web pages, 50 of the best Christmas trivia questions, 75 of the greatest all-time trivia questions for Christmas. And so I started looking at some of them. Some of them had 30, some of them had 25, whatever. I got through about 400 of them, and I didn't get one that had anything to do with Christ. And finally, I had to change my search, Christian. And why do I have to put Christian in there when it comes to the most celebrated holiday, religious holiday in the world? Christmas is the largest religious holiday in the entire world. We have a world that wants Christ at a Christmas. It's all about eggnog. It's all about reindeers. It's all about some fat guy up in the North Pole. The guy doesn't even look like he's in shape, but he can run around the entire world and run one night and give everyone gifts. I still don't know how he does it. It's about this, it's about that, but it's not about Christmas. It's not about Christ. But you know what? It's okay to say Merry Christmas. Amen. I know Diane working at the post office, she says Merry Christmas to everyone. She hasn't gotten in trouble yet. She hasn't got fired. Taken up before the Human Rights Board, you know. And I'm glad that we could celebrate this holiday, this holy day that we as Christians have set aside to remember the great birth of this little child, this little Jewish baby who has changed the world. You think about this massive worldwide holiday known as Christmas, how big it is and how celebrated it is, all because of a single child. One person. I was thinking the other day about, you know, people who are quoted after. You know, as a pastor, I'm quoting after people as well. I often quote people. We have a quote every week in our bulletin, a Christian quote. There are people out there that are quoted, and if you quote this person, man, that means something. And I was asking myself this question, what would I have to do in order to get to the place where people would quote me? Where would you have to get to in your life before people started quoting you? Hey, Keith Reevey said this. Marcel Lapointe, oh yeah, that's a good one. Let's put that in the bulletin. Marcel said it, everyone's going to listen. You got to get to a place of influence. You got to get to a place where you're well known, where somehow you've elevated yourself to a place of status. Maybe it's because you're an author, an activist, a Christian leader, and you've influenced the world a little bit. But here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And without a doubt, He is the most influential human being that has ever walked this planet's soil. Jesus Christ is the reason why we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas because Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, because we delight in the birth of our Savior, the day when, the anticipated day when the Savior of the Jewish nation was born. God has given us the opportunity to look back. But you know, when we stop and think about it, the birth of Jesus Christ began 4,000 years before He was born. We can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We can go all the way back to the progenitors of mankind. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, they lived with God, they communed with God, things were good, there was no labor, amen? There were no unions. There was no hospitals. There were no cemeteries. Amen? There were no Tim Hortons. Amen. No Walmarts. There was only God, and there was paradise, and there was a beautiful garden that God had given them to have dominion over, to have all of the lush vegetation and the fruit and the vegetables and all of the things in the garden that God had given them. And life was good. Their relationship with God was good. Everything was going good until one day sin entered into the world. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 23 and 24, "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he was placed to the east of the Garden of Eden." He placed in the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So man ruined it. Man fell from his lofty place, and the Bible says he was cast out of the Garden of Eden, and God set up an obstacle to make sure that man couldn't get back in. And from that day forward, man and God were separated. The division came that man was no longer communing with God. Man was no longer spiritually alive. The day that they ate of it, they died spiritually. And man had a problem. Man had a massive and an immense problem. And it didn't take long when man realized that they had been separated from God. Man realized that they needed to do something to try to restore the relationship with God. And in a few short chapters, in Genesis chapter 11, the Bible says in verse 3 and 4, "And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven." So mankind realized that they had a problem, realized that they were separated from God, and they said, "Listen, why don't we build a tower? Let's make some bricks, and let's get some mortar, and let's build a tower, and let's get back to God." Amen? That's good intentions. Getting higher and closer to God is what they thought. They thought, you know, the higher we get, the closer we're going to be to heaven. And listen, we can restore that relationship with God. The Tower of Babel was the beginning of false religion. Man-made false religion. You know, man is pretty inventive. You know, I was talking to somebody last night, and they said, "Oh, you know, man isn't the king of the beasts, if you will. Man isn't the one that has the preeminence in the natural world, because, you know, if you were to take a man and a polar bear, a man with his bare hands and a polar bear, that polar bear is going to win. See, man isn't on top." Well, yes, he is, because he can make a gun. And God maybe didn't give us the strength of a bear. He didn't give us the cunning of a lion. But He gave us a brain and the intelligence and the ability to make things and to do things and to reason things out. And man, we've invented a lot of things. And I'm glad for certain inventions. Amen. I ordered something. No offense to our American visitors, but I hate when I get something that I need to screw in and it came from the States, because you know exactly where I'm going. It's a Phillips head on the screwdriver. Sorry, folks, get the Robertson head down there, man. This revolutionized the carpentry industry. I mean, I you know what I do when I get those Phillips heads? I throw them away. Amen. Who said that? Yeah, you've done it. Comes up to Canada, brings home boxes of Phillips or Robertson screwdriver heads. Amen. You know, they were invented. That was invented by a Canadian. That's why we've got them in Canada. The Robertson head. I'm glad for that. Amen. I will say this: Phillips is still better than the flathead. Amen. I better stop. We're going to have a divided church. I wish screwdriver head's the best. Amen. But I'm glad we've got inventions. But man decided, listen, we've got to invent something. We need to do something about this fact that man is separated from God. So let's invent something. Let's build the Tower of Babel. Man's got many problems. Man has enormous, immense problems. Could you imagine what man would be like if we did not have invention? Could you imagine life without ingenuity? One other verse, if you're there, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." And I want you to notice there again in Malachi chapter 3, talking about the messenger of the covenant, the Lord who himself will come. And the Bible says that we will delight in him. And folks, we should delight in the Lord. Before we get into the message, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again, we're grateful that you've given us the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful that we can look back over 2,000 years now and remember this one child out of billions that have been born, yet it is that one child that we remember. He was not an ordinary child. He was the Savior of the world, the long-anticipated Savior. And may we delight at Christmas time in the birth of Jesus Christ. And we thank you and we praise you in his name. And amen. What does man do when we have a problem? Man likes to solve his own problems. Man, by the way, and I'm speaking to men, we like to solve problems. Amen. We like to be problem solvers. God has made us that way. And a lot of times we don't like help. Ladies, just sometimes let us fix it. Amen. People ask the question, why did God make man before woman? Well, the answer is because he didn't want any advice on how to do it. Amen. We needed transportation. You know, the donkeys and the camels and the horses just weren't cutting it. So we needed transportation. So we invented the airplane. Are you glad, Keith, for the airplane? Amen. We're going to get him on one. And then I'm going to push him out. You'll have a parachute on, though, but we'll get them someday up in one. The inventors of the airplane were Orville and Wilbur Wright, December 17, 1903. The Wright brothers made their first successful experiment in which a machine, an airplane, carrying a man, rose by its own power, flew naturally at an even speed, and descended without anyone getting hurt. I'm glad we have the automobile. Are you glad for your car? I don't know if I should ask all of you that. This question this morning, are you glad for your vehicle? Amen. The inventions or the inventors of an automobile is a very interesting one. The automobile was not invented in a single day by a single person. A lot of people think, well, wait, didn't Henry Ford invent the automobile? No, I perfected the assembly line. He didn't invent the automobile. It was invented over a long period of time by many different people. Again, it took place worldwide. Are you glad for refrigeration? Amen. We got a quarter beef a couple weeks ago, and my wife came running up the stairs from the basement, panicking. She says the freezer's not working and all the meat's defrosted. I said, amen, fire up the barbecue. Call some folks over, we're going to have a feast, amen. And so I went downstairs. She thought, you know, that the freezer broke. And so I did what men normally don't do, at least what I normally don't do. I always think everything's deep. You know, we've got some serious problems with the freezer. I actually checked the most simple thing, make sure it's plugged in. And guess what? It wasn't. The plug had come loose. And so I plugged it in the freezer. You could hear it humming again. And my wife was all worried, you know. She said, I don't know if that meat's still any good. And I said, listen, I went in. I can smell it. I put my hand in down deep in the packages, you know, and it was still frozen in there. I said, the meat's fine. It's fine. And I said, don't worry, we'll invite Marcel over, have a barbecue, and let him eat it first. Amen? It's all right. You know, it's good. The meat's fine. But I'm glad for refrigeration. Amen? And you know, I thought besides that, you know, even if it's not going to work, the freezer's not going to work, we can just put the meat outside. Amen? I'm glad we live in Canada. Cold. Outdoor freezers. We got the biggest freezer in the world every winter time. Amen? And so we're glad for refrigeration. I'm glad for medicine. Amen? I unfortunately have been to the doctors more times in the past couple months than I would like to be, but I'm glad for doctors. Diabetes killed thousands and gave a lower quality of life to countless others. And the Canadian doctor, Sir Frederick Banting, and biochemist John James Ricard MacLeod, who were later awarded the Nobel Prize for their discovery in 1923, they've saved countless lives. And again, I've mentioned the Robertson screwdriver, but other Canadian inventions is the alkaline battery, the paint roller. I'm glad for paint rollers, amen. If you painted, you'd be glad for a paint roller. The light bulb, the zipper, the green garbage bag, all Canadian inventions. You know, man is able to solve its problems. Amen. Now, I know I'm not, you know, always the sharpest knife in the drawer, but there are times when I've had to invent things. And I will guarantee you, Keith has invented things. He's had a problem, he's in the shop trying to do something, or maybe he's trying to fix a motor, and you know what? He can't come up with it, so he's invented something. I'll guarantee you, you've invented something. I've invented something. I've made so many things. I've made messes like you would not believe. I've made disasters. I've made all kinds of things. You have probably invented something. You've been in a pinch. You know, we've had to MacGyver something. And we have to invent something. We have to do. God has given us the ability, amen, to fend off the polar bear, to fly in the sky, amen. And I'm glad we can get to Scotland in 5 hours rather than 5 days. I'm glad we got here in 5 minutes rather than 5 hours, amen. I'm glad we've got hospitals that have invented things to help us and all of these things. And I'm saying all that to say this, man has a problem, and that problem is our separation from God. And just as man has tried to come up with his own ways to solve his own problems, we've done the exact same thing when it comes to salvation. Man, about 6,000 years ago, fell from his place in the Garden of Eden. And ever since then, we've been trying to fix the problem. Why do we have 4,000 plus religions in the world? Why is there this way and this way and this way to try to get back to God? Yet God said 6,000 years ago that the day would come when that seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And that was a prophecy, and that was God saying, listen, I know you've got this problem. I know you've fallen from your place, but I'm going to do something about it. I am going to fix your problem. And Israel waited, and they waited, and they waited, and God told the prophets over and over again that there's going to be a deliverer, that a child is going to be born, and he is going to be the savior of the world. He tells us in Isaiah chapter 53 that he is going to die sacrificially. He's going to be smitten for the sins of the people. All of these things were given to Israel, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited. And finally, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was born, that God said, listen, I am going to solve the problem. I am going to make the way. I am going to give you a Savior to solve the problem that you cannot solve yourself. You know what? Einstein could not solve the problem. Frankenstein couldn't solve the problem. Stephen Hawking couldn't solve the problem. All of the greatest minds in the world put together could not solve this problem. Only God could solve the problem. Only God could provide the Savior. And Jesus Christ was born. We should delight in this fact. We should delight in the giving of the Son. We should delight in the virgin-born Savior of the world. We should delight every single day. First of all, we should delight in it because we did not deserve it. Amen? You're saying, not me, Pastor. I deserved it. Well, I'm glad we didn't get what we deserved. Amen? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I think about the glorious, wonderful grace of God. Amen. When He looked down from that banister in heaven and He looked at man, the Bible says there was nothing comely, there was nothing attractive, there was nothing beautiful about us that He should send Jesus Christ to die for us. There was no reason for Him other than the love that He had for His creation, the love that He had for the people that He had made. I'm glad for the grace of God. Amen. And we should delight every day. Jesus Christ was given through grace. And then secondly, when we think about it, we should count the cost. We should count the cost. You know, salvation, when we think about the Tower of Babel, the Bible says there that they got bricks and they baked them in the ovens and they made bricks and they got mortar and they started building that tower. And you know, every minute it was costing them. You know, we got to pay for the bricks and we got to pay for the labor and we got to do this and we got to do that. And then we got to permits and then we got to go through the Nottawasaga Valley Conservation Authority. And then, I shouldn't really talk about that, should I? We're going to build this tower and it's going to cost us something. But you know, when Jesus Christ came, it cost us nothing. But there was a great cost. There was a great cost to Christmas. You're saying, Pastor, you have no idea how much Christmas is costing me this year. That's why somebody said, make it a Christmas you'll never forget, charge everything. Amen? I was just telling Keith when I was walking up here, I got a message on my phone that I had bought something and it was delivered today. I said, Sunday, what in the world are they doing working on Sunday, delivering stuff? Well, I guess we're so busy getting stuff for Christmas. Amen? That they're overwhelmed, they got to work overtime, and they're delivering today, and we're spending a lot. It's a costly time of the year when we think about our bank accounts. But when it comes to the birth of Jesus Christ, when it comes to salvation, there wasn't a cost on our part, but the cost was great. Jesus Christ paid the price with His life. He laid down His life. He was tortured on the cross for the sins of the world. And that alone is an incredible price. The Bible says in Luke chapter 14, verse 28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. And there the principle is talking about counting the cost. Do we count the cost of Christmas? Do we understand the cost, the price that was paid for us today to have Christmas? We think about this child being born. It cost Mary and Joseph the comforts of home during a long period of exile in Egypt to protect the little baby Jesus. It cost mothers in and around Bethlehem the massacre of their babies by the cruel order of Herod. It cost the shepherds the complacency of their shepherd's life with a call to the manger and to spread the good news. It cost the wise men a long journey, expensive gifts, and a changed life as well. It cost the early apostles and the early church persecution and death. It costs the missionaries of Christ's untold suffering and privation in sharing the gospel worldwide, and it still today costs Christians martyrdom in all ages. They've given their lives for Christ's sake. But more than all of this, it cost God the Father His own Son. He sent Him to this earth to save us. And as I mentioned, it cost Jesus Christ a life of sacrifice and service and a cruel death on the cross, unmatched in the history of the world. So my dear friends, while you sit back and consider the cost of your Christmas this year, may you be ever mindful of the cost of Christmas, paid by our wonderful Savior, bought and paid for. At Christmas, we give gifts to our loved ones to remind us of the great generosity of God and the sacrifice of many who gave so much so that we could have this blessed holy day. Sir Henry Taylor said this: "He who gives what he would as readily as he would readily throw away gives without generosity, for the essence of generosity is in self-sacrifice." 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, God said, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Are you delighting in the fact that Jesus Christ has come? Are you delighting in the fact that the price was paid and that we simply need to believe and accept Christ as Savior? I'm glad God has given us what we didn't deserve. Amen? Now you're here today, and there are two types of people, not only here, but there are two types of people in the world. And that's saved people, and that's unsaved people. Jesus Christ came to this world, He died, and He took away the sins of the world. But Jesus said that he that believeth on me shall have everlasting life, that he that believeth not shall not have life. But the Bible says the wrath of God abideth, remains on him. So you're either here and you've accepted Jesus Christ. You've accepted the new birth. You've accepted the payment that Christ made for you. Or maybe you've invented your own way. You think, you know, I can get there some other way. I can be reconciled to God by another means. There is no other way. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." God gave us the way to be reconciled to God. And my prayer is this Christmas, you know what? You could give your family the greatest gift this Christmas by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You could give yourself, do yourself the greatest favor by accepting Jesus Christ this Christmas. Put your faith and trust in Him. And if you're saved, if you're a child of God today, you've believed in Jesus Christ, put your trust in Him. Are you delighting in what Christ has done, the gift of God that is truly unspeakable? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to be here this morning. And Lord, we need to delight at Christmas, a time of year when things seem to be so hectic, depression, anxiety, stress are high, yet they ought not to be. It should be a time of delight and joy, knowing that God has visited man. God has made the reconciliation between a lost people and a holy God. My prayer is this morning, if you're here and you've never been reconciled, that this day you would make that decision and say, Lord, I come. I trust you. I believe in you. And I accept you as my Savior. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here that needs you, that they would not leave without making that decision. And Father, for each one of us that know Christ, it should be a time of rejoicing, a time of delight, knowing that God became a man and reconciled us to our great God. And may we each and every day rejoice in this. With everyone's head bowed and eyes are closed, nobody looking around this morning, could you, with an upraised hand, say, Pastor, I know I've been reconciled to God. Amen. I know I'm saved. Thank you. I know I'm going to heaven. Thank you for those hands. And again, nobody's looking around. We're not going to center you out. But I know that everyone that just raised their hands would be overjoyed at the fact that one sinner today would repent. Would you be here and say, Pastor, I need to be saved, and I know I need to do something about it. I need to trust Jesus Christ, and would you pray for me? Say, Pastor, would you pray for me that I might come to know Christ? Anyone at all? Father, would you help us as Christians to delight in you? And as we have this altar call, Lord, would you bless, work in hearts? And again, if there is somebody here without Christ, I pray that you would continue to work. Do a work of convicting. The Holy Spirit of God may have his way. And for us who are saved, would we rejoice and delight? Give us the joy this Christmas. And we'll thank you and praise you in our Savior's name. And amen. Let's stand together as we sing.